opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of Salem Communications, staff, management, or advertisers.
Activist Radio is on the air.
You've tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal.
Mark is training a new generation of leaders
to take on the culture of death and win. All right!
If you don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
It's a political issue. It's a political issue. I've been called to preach the gospel, not to get involved in the culture war. Have you heard those before? I think you've heard those before, haven't you? At least I have, maybe just about a million times. In the many, many years that I've been fighting on the front lines of the abortion wars in America, I just wish, you know, I can't even count how many times I've been told that, you know, I'm not called to that ministry, Mark. I'm glad you're doing it. God bless you. But that's just not my thing. I'm called to preach the gospel. That's what we hear. I'm called to preach the gospel. Or, you know, abortion or any other of these issues that we confront as a culture, they're political. And therefore, because the church isn't political, we shouldn't speak out on these things. Because we don't want to become partisan and political. That might offend or keep people away from our churches, the non-believers, that is. Well, we hear those all the time. And so, and I mentioned them on my program, and obviously you guys know by listening to me at any length that I'm just slightly frustrated with the response of the church as a whole to the issues that confront us. And, of course, my main focus of the work that I do is defending the preborn. And it still astonishes me after so many years as to how Christians can sit back when they hear the news that Planned Parenthood is butchering children and harvesting their baby parts and now tossing them in the ones that, you know, they didn't harvest, throwing those into landfills. How we don't have a storming of the Planned Parenthood in our cities the next day. The Christians should be on the front lines of that place, on the sidewalks, in one voice, calling for the end of the killing of children. How that doesn't happen, I guess I'll never know until I reach heaven, maybe. I don't know. Well, we're going to talk about that today, and I brought on the program my good friend Wendell Brain. He's the pastor of Trinity Evangelical Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Thanks for being on the program, Wendell.
Hey, it's great to be here. Good to talk to you again, Mark.
I'd love to have you. Now, I'm going to read a little bit. Wendell's, he's paid his dues in the pro-life movement as well. Wendell is a pastor of a church in Fort Wayne and has been for decades. But in 1989, he left the pastorate for a short period of time to go full-time in the pro-life movement. That, if you want to know why, that's because that was in the height of the Operation Rescue movement. A national movement of repentance to end the shedding of innocent blood, and he began an effort to end abortion in Indiana as part of Northeast Indiana Rescue. And soon after, found himself sued by the Fort Wayne Women's Health Organization. And just recently, in the last several years, that suit was finally settled, and I guess we'll talk about that a little more. But Wendell's a pastor. He's also a pro-life activist, one who has paid his dues in this movement years and years ago and even today. And so I wanted to bring him on to speak to the Christian community at large as to, from the perspective of a pastor, why it is a pastor should be involved in these issues. So, Wendell, let's start out with that. You heard my setup, you know, about the different issues as to why pastors don't get involved. But just I want to hear from you to start out. What is it that, first of all, why is it that you felt compelled to leave your pastorate and work full time back in the 1980s? Then we'll talk about more current stuff.
Yeah, sure. Well, I would have to admit that in my early years as a pastor, and at that point I would have been in my young 30s, I was definitely of the school of thought that pastors are not to be involved in so-called political issues and demonstrations and protests. I found the whole thing to be a bit unsettling. And this was because of the Bible college that I had gone to and the home church that I grew up in, and that was the environment of Christianity that I knew and was conditioned by. And that all changed when I was exposed to the truth of what abortion actually is after watching the video, The Silent Scream, which was quite a dated video. Some of your listeners may recall it. Where they actually show an actual abortion taking place, I was deeply convicted by that and the reality that a fellow human being was being killed. I mean, this completely set this apart. This was now no longer a political issue. This now was a loving my neighbor as myself issue. This was a standing for someone who cannot stand for himself issue. And all the scriptures that speak about defending the defenseless and caring for the poor and the orphan and the widow and all that, all those exhortations in Scripture just jumped off the pages, and I was convicted and then moved to action.
My guest is Wendell Brain, and he pastors a church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, called Trinity Evangelical Church, and I wanted to bring him on today as a pastor who obviously feels very compelled about the getting involved in the pro-life issue, to speak to pastors that are listening and also just Christians in general as to our responsibility to defend the preborn. Wendell, you know, I mentioned up front some of the common arguments that we get from others, Christians, who say this is why they don't get involved. I want you to address two of those that I mentioned. The first is folks will say, well, you know, I'm glad you're doing this. I'm not called to do what you're doing. I'm called to preach the gospel.
Yeah, well, on that, I suppose the question would be, to use the tactics of Greg Kokel, is what do you mean by that? What do you mean by the gospel?
Right.
Because oftentimes that is reduced to some sort of spiritual laws, kind of four spiritual laws sort of thing. But when you look at the scriptures, you see that the gospel is really the proclamation of the truth. It is the advancement of God's kingdom. It involves discipleship. It's the whole gamma. And so to say that loving our neighbor as ourselves is not part of the gospel is to have a very wrong view of the gospels. And so this would be where I would begin that whole conversation, is what exactly does it mean to preach the gospel? And I would argue quite fervently that preaching the gospel does mean standing up for the unborn children.
So are you saying that, do you believe that evangelicals generally just have a kind of a narrow view of what the gospel means, which is, like you say, the four spiritual laws, getting people saved? And that's what they use as their, I guess, as a reason or excuse as to why they don't do what they should do?
To a large degree, I would say that would be true, and this probably explains why the Roman Catholics have been more on the forefront of this, especially in the earlier years when the evangelicals were completely silent, because the Roman Catholics did have a broader view of what the gospel meant, the proclamation of Christ's teachings and the message of his kingdom, where evangelicals, primarily because of the revivalist movement, you know, in the previous two centuries, have just simply reduced the gospel to responding to an altar call, and that has certainly hurt us.
Pastor Wendell Brain is my guest, Trinity Evangelical Church out of Fort Wayne, Indiana, also a longtime pro-life activist. Wendell, I mean, let me ask you this real quick. Why don't pastors get involved? Why don't they preach on abortion or any other of the issues that are facing us, the ones that are controversial? Why not take these things head on?
Well, I think there are a number of different reasons, And it would be easy to suspect that they by and large are just cowards and they use all sorts of excuses. But I'll try to be gracious and say that for some it may just be a legitimate misunderstanding or ignorance. If you will remember when I started out sharing my own testimony, I grew up in a church that was not socially involved, and I went to a Bible college that, you know, was the same, pretty much the same way. Nothing was ever spoken about these sorts of issues. And so when you think of many pastors, even they, you would have to assume that they grew up in churches where that was the model set for them. You know, we don't get involved in speaking up for the unborn or whatever the case may be, and they end up going to colleges and seminaries where that kind of thinking is reinforced. And it's reinforced by shallow soundbite-type arguments, and they seem to take hold, and they never really think through it that much. Also, pastors do tend to be, they don't like controversial things. It's kind of on their defense. Their job does involve a lot of controversy. If they're in a church mm-hmm. of 200 or 300 people, they're going to have a lot of people in that church that are upset with them about some things, and everybody's pushing and pulling on them sure. about this or that. And so the idea of bringing in another controversy that will stir things up and get people upset is something that they don't really relish or welcome. They're just there trying to keep the peace between the Johnsons and the Smiths, who've been fighting forever, and everybody else. And all the meetings that they have with people, usually they're getting yelled at about something, and they just don't want to get yelled at again. And so it's easy to sort of, you know, look this stuff over and just kind of justify not getting into anything controversial.
My guest is Wendell Brain. He's a pastor in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Trinity Evangelical Church. Wendell, we got about a minute before the break, and I know we'll carry this discussion over into the second segment. But your church, Trinity Evangelical, what makes you guys different in that? And also, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think pastors often think if they start addressing these issues that the church will shrink. They won't be able to get non-believers to come to the church because they'll be offending them, driving them out. And you know, that's a legitimate concern. We want to reach people for Christ. I want you to start. We got about 30 seconds to answer that question. I want to carry it over.
Yeah, I think a church needs to have a clear definition, a clear understanding of what its philosophy of ministry is. And so we have lost people because we've been too vocal on the pro-life, too vocal in speaking out for the unborn. And that's just part of the price that you pay. But it comes back to our philosophy of ministry. Our philosophy isn't to become the biggest church in town. It isn't even to become a large church. Our philosophy is that of discipling believers, not even really pampering to non-believers, but to training our believers to evangelize non-believers. Then after evangelism, you know, we would equip and teach them and instruct and to disciple them in our own local church, which would involve, of course, pro-life activism.
Okay, hold that thought. My guest is Wendell Brain, Pastor Wendell Brain from Fort Wayne, Indiana, Trinity Evangelical Church. And Wendell's been involved in the pro-life movement for decades, also involved in the early days with Operation Rescue, my good friends there at Operation Rescue. We'll be right back. You're listening to your radio activist and voice of resistance. Stick around.
This is Bob Burt, and I want to encourage you to listen to a wonderful program right here on WRFD. It's the Mark Harrington Show every Saturday at 1:30 p.m. Mark is a longtime leader in the pro-life movement who's focused on training the next generation of leaders to create dialogue on college and high school campuses. You know, Mark understands that abortion is a gospel issue, and he is dedicated to raising up leaders who winsomely represent our Lord Jesus Christ in this culture. I hope that you will listen to the Mark Harrington Show and you'll get insight on how you can engage the issues that confront Christians every single day. Again, this is Bob Burney encouraging you to listen to the Mark Harrington Show every Saturday, 1:30 p.m. on WRFD AM 880.
This is life-changing radio, AM 880 WRFD.
Alrighty. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, everybody. 2015 is done. Over with. On to 2016. Big things planned here at Created Equal. We're going to continue to press forward with the truth about abortion, truth that the preborn deserve, rights of equality. As we go to high school and college campuses all across America, we got big plans. This is an election year, folks. I mean, it's a big year for our nation, and we need to be standing up for the things that God, outlines out in His Word. My guest is Pastor Wendell Brain today, and he is a pastor at Trinity Evangelical Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And I brought Wendell on today to talk about what he does in his own church and what he believes the church should be doing and pastors could be doing to try to bring people to the to these issues, especially the issue of abortion. Pastor, before we launch into that, I want you to address one more question, and that is you hear often that abortion is a political issue, therefore the church should not address it. Because it's political, it's going to be divisive, and you get into partisanship and this kind of stuff. Is that more just, I don't want my 501c3 threatened because if I speak out, then I got the IRS on my tail, or is that a legit argument?
Regarding the 501c3, you know, I don't know if there's been any, if very little churches who have had that jeopardized because of pro-life activism. So that would be an empty excuse. It could be an excuse to cover up just an unwillingness or a cowardliness to, to launch into this effort.
Do you think the 501c3 is something, I mean, maybe I'm probing a little bit too far, but do you think that's something that the churches should have bought into way back when? I mean, it's kind of the horses out of the barn.
That's a separate subject. For our church, we are 501c3, but we have in our Constitution the very first paragraph that we will quickly relinquish that 501c3 if the government intrudes upon our mission in any way or our teaching in any way whatsoever.
Gotcha.
So we hold it in our hand with a very light grip.
Sure.
As do we
at this at Created Equal. So address
we're willing,
the political.
We're willing to drop that quickly if necessary.
I agree.
We're not going to fight on. We'll just take the hit on that, and we're kind of making preparations for long term, consequences for taking a stand on things, whether it be this or on same sex marriage, whatever the issue would be. We know that things are going to get more difficult than going to get easier. And so churches kind of need to be prepared on that. But back to the question on politics, one thing I kind of like to do is sort of set this up when I talk to pastors. I say it's not really a political issue. I mean, it is a political issue, but it's really a gospel issue that's gotten tangled up in politics.
Right.
And we could say the same about all sorts of things, whether it is legislation on drunk driving or legislation on racism or legislation on murder or legislation. I mean, you fill in the blank, all of it's going to be, to some degree, a moral issue that reflects back upon a biblical law. And so you cannot, there's no way to be consistent here and be a purist and say we're not involved in politics whatsoever, because you are. You are.
Good answer. So you think that why do they use that then as an excuse?
Because it's either a shallow argument that they've not thought through, or it's a cover up for it's an excuse.
Unwillingness.
They don't really want to dive into this.
Yeah. So okay, let's turn the page here and let's talk about what the normal Christian listening to the sound of my voice can do. If they're in a church right now and are a little bit frustrated or feel that the pastor or the church isn't speaking out or doing enough on the issues that are confronting the culture, what kind of suggestions do you have for them?
Yeah, I have one big one that I put a lot of weight in for a number of reasons, and I'll explain it. And this goes back to something that you will often hear a pastor say. A pastor will often say, this is something we need to pray about. We don't need to be getting involved in protests and demonstrations and writing letters and all that. So we just need to be praying about that. And typically we take that answer and then we walk away all frustrated, believing that we've been blown off. And, yeah, in a way we have been blown off. But I think it's time for us just to kind of take them at their word and say, okay, let's pray about it. On Sunday mornings during our congregational prayer time every Sunday, let's pray for those women in our community. We don't know their names, but we know that there are women in our town who are scheduled to kill their children by abortion. Let's lift that up to God as a prayer request and make that a habitual thing week after week during our regular congregational prayer time. Now, the advantage of that is that, you know, we do want to pray. We do believe that God hears our prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing here is we are creating, at least on an introductory level, we are creating a pro-life environment in the church. Let me use the example of, like, Sister Mildred, who has cancer. You're in a church of 300 or 400 people. You may not even know who Sister Mildred is. But week after week, you're praying for Sister Mildred. And after a while, you actually start caring for Sister Mildred because we're all praying for her.
Yeah.
And the same thing is true about children who are scheduled to be killed. You know, this may be something you've never been involved in, but now the whole church is praying faithfully, and you find that people, it's like praying when Jesus told us to pray for enemies, our attitude changes about all of that. You know, we can't pray that for someone that God to bless. We can't, you know, we don't find ourselves despising them. And when we're praying for our unborn children, we find ourselves actually caring. And here, again, you know, we're doing something that's not political. It's not controversial. It doesn't require any time or extra effort on behalf of the church. It doesn't require any money. And what reasonable answer could possibly be given that we're not going to pray for children who are going to be killed by abortion that week? And so I think that's a great introductory level to kind of start the, you know, the climate of change within a local church, to set that environment, ramp things up a little bit.
My guest is Wendell Brain. He's a pastor at Trinity Evangelical Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, also a pro-life activist who temporarily left the pastorate in 1989 to do full-time pro-life work, is back pastoring and has been for many, many years, but still very much on the front lines of the pro-life movement. Pastor Wendell, if you would, so asking that the pastor set aside time for prayer, for the regular prayer for the unborn and all the issues surrounding abortion, is the introductory step, and a big one, I would say. I agree with you that if you
right.
really are
yeah.
doing that and honestly, earnestly praying for the issue, that you're going to get people starting, God's going to start bringing up things and the Holy Spirit might start, you know, moving in some people's hearts to do something about it. But it can't end there. So, well, let's say that we do that and they begin to do that. What's next?
Well, it kind of depends on, you know, I suppose it would depend on each church. For instance, here in Fort Wayne, we have a pretty big event in January called the March for Life. And we probably have 3,000 people every year that show up for that march. And so that's an obvious good entry point into a level of activism that is pretty safe. I mean, it's pretty it's not highly controversial. And we have found that churches that participate this in the first time, they come back the next year.
Mm-hmm.
They get more people to come back the next year. So for us, that becomes a good entry point into the more activist level of it. I would say that a church also should make a part of their announcement time any sorts of newsworthy stories, certainly the things going on with the Planned Parenthood videos and what you guys
right.
are experiencing there in Ohio. That needs to be part of the announcement time. That needs to be also included in the prayer time as well. When there's pro-life legislation, you're not going to risk your 501c3 by asking people to write to their legislators and to inform everybody what the bill is about, and it takes some time to kind of explain that. Again, none of this stuff is that controversial. And it's not any more political than a lot of the other things that a church will do. And so I think these are all safe kind of entry-level
We've got about 15 points. Seconds. You want to wrap it up. Exhort the pastors and the Christian leaders in our audience, would you?
Yeah, well, certainly. The apostles, after they were persecuted, one thing that they prayed for in particular was that God would fill them with boldness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a prayer that all pastors need to be praying today, because we're living in an age where it's going to be easy to be cowardly and to shrink back in fear. But the apostles prayed for boldness, and we need to pray for boldness too, because in our natural sinful selves, we are not. We are all cowards and fearful. And courage, of course, is not the absence of fear, but the resolve to do what is right in spite of our fear.
God bless you. Wendell, we got to go. God bless you, man. Let's pray for boldness for 2016, folks. In Jesus' name, give us boldness, Lord, to go out and fight the culture war. We'll be back next time. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America, to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist, sponsored by Created Equal. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net, createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to The Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.